just, it means a lot to our hockey team. I mean, he, like I said, since day one, I became a general manager. He's been on our team. And I mean, you saw in the playoff, he got cross-checked in the face and he wouldn't want to miss a shift. He didn't want to leave. I mean, you have guys in the past I've seen, they get slashed, they get a fingernail missing and they're finding a way not to play. This guy's just, he's everything you want about a hockey player. And that's what I love about him.
Some of the content of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast might not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
I don't know. I'm speechless. Yeah, this is just amazing.
Bonjour, Montreal. You're just very good, Kaniemi. I'm so excited to be drafted by Montreal. I can't wait that I can see you guys. Merci.
It feels unbelievable. I mean, it's a dream come true, and I can't really put it into words right now. I mean, I still can't believe it. You know, watching it as a kid growing up is just something you dream about, and to have it become a reality is so real, and yeah, it still hasn't sunk in yet.
For the city, this season means one thing: playoffs.
The vibes in the city, the buzz in the city, everyone is just so happy about that it's playoff time. Everyone's so passionate, and that trickles into our room.
The Montreal Canadiens means everything. In the playoff, the passion of our fans and the city really gets behind the Canadiens, and you could feel it.
The Canadiens win the Stanley Cup!
It's not only winning for winning, it's what it represents to the fans, the organization, the players. It means so much to the people that are supporting the Montreal Canadiens.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Season 1, Episode 38 of the Double Minor Hockey Podcast for Friday, October 16th, 2020. As usual, Josh and Lambros here talking hockey with you, so let's get right into it. Lambros, let me say one thing right off the top of the show.
Oh, here we go. I just want to let everybody know he's been practicing this all week.
Hands down. No questions asked, no ands, ifs, or buts. This has been Marc Bergevin's hands-down best, hands-down off-season, hands-down ever, hands-down since he's been general manager of the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah.
I will say this, hands-down. I tweeted it out when Toffoli was signed to a contract extension. The Montreal Canadiens will make the playoffs as a top three team in the Atlantic Division.
Yep.
Marc Bergevin has given his team everything that they needed. He had a shopping list this offseason, and for once, he not only addressed items one and two, but he addressed every single item on the agenda. Bring in an established, capable, quality backup for Carey Price. Check. Upgrade the left side of the defense. Check. Add size to the forward group. Check. Add scoring to the forward group. Check. Resign your two most important pending UFAs for next season, Jeff Petrie and Brendan Gallagher. Check and check. Now it's in the hands of the head coach and the players.
Yep.
Because if this team does not make the playoffs, I will not, and I repeat, not, be screaming for Marc Bergevin's job. I will say this, Marc Bergevin has bought himself, he has earned
a new contract.
Well, I won't say a new contract because he's just kind of in, I think he just started a new one not too long ago, but I will say.
No. He has this year, next year left.
Okay. I give it to him right now.
Yep.
I give you my word, Lambros, Thursday, October 18th, 9:24 p.m.
It's 15th, Josh, not the 18th. But yes,
did I say 18th? October 18th, 9:24.
Okay, you said it again. It's October 15th.
October 15th. Oh, man. And I haven't been drinking. That's slightly terrifying. October 15th.
There you go.
9:24 in the evening. I will not, for the remainder of Marc Bergevin's tenure in Montreal, call for his job.
Really? The remainder of his tenure? Okay. That's a first. I did not expect that.
Marc Bergevin, this past offseason, in a relatively short amount of time, has shown me exactly what I've been screaming into a microphone for years, what I've been wanting to see. And honestly, Lambros, it started a few years ago when we brought in Dominique Ducharme and we brought in Joel Bouchard. We got rid of fucking Sylvain Lefebvre. And we put an emphasis on quality development and quality play at the minor league level with a guy that actually knows what the fuck he's doing in Joel Bouchard. But I look at the moves that this general manager has made, and there have been reports, mainly from Elliot Friedman at Sportsnet, saying these are the types of moves that tells me that Marc Bergevin feels like he needs to make the playoffs this year. Yes, Marc Bergevin probably feels like he needs to make the playoffs this year. But with the roster, the way it is compiled and built by the general manager, if this team does not make the playoffs, it is not
his fault
on Marc Bergevin.
No.
If this team does not make the playoffs, Claude Julien has to be sacked, canned, shot out of a fucking cannon. At this point, there are no more excuses. The power play should be better with the additions of Josh Anderson and Tyler Toffoli. 5-on-5 scoring should be better. Your defense has gotten an upgrade in size, talent, grit, experience. I don't see very, and Brendan Gallagher said that in an interview today. I do not see how many forward groups are going to be lining up saying, I want to play against that defense.
Mm-hmm.
Shea Weber is as mean as ever. Jeff Petrie is one of the most underrated defensemen in the National Hockey League. And he's shown us over the past two seasons exactly what he can still do. Ben Chiarot came in and established his physical dominance. Now we bring in Joel Edmondson, leadership, experience, quality play.
Size.
We have Romanov coming. We have Fleury coming. We have Juleson coming. We have players coming. I'm excited. I'm pumped. I'm ready to go. I'm telling you, Lambros, this team will make the playoffs as a top three team in the division. And I will go even further. I question if they are not ahead
of Boston and Toronto.
Absolutely.
I was just going to go up to, I was just going to point that out.
And I will say this. I do not know how far back of Tampa Bay they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you got to
I look at Toronto. Montreal Canadiens better on every aspect of the game. The Boston Bruins, I think they're going to be in for a little bit of a harder time this year. The Montreal Canadiens have really stepped up in the Atlantic Division. This is not a team that will be finishing 15, 10 points out of a playoff spot. This is a team that I am expecting to be in a playoff spot from when the season starts to when the playoffs begin. Now, something could happen. You never know. Injuries happen in this game. But I think that they are deep enough, especially at the forward position, to be able to sustain an injury, a long-term injury. Last year, when Byron and Domi and Drouin went, the whole team fell apart.
There went the season, yeah.
This year, if you were to lose a top six forward, you're fine. Now, fine. You theoretically have enough forward quality NHL experience depth
that can step up and that can play those minutes
to survive and manage.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'm going to basically give a quick summary and respond to everything you just said. I look at the Atlantic Division, I'll just look at the entire NHL, and I know one of the biggest issues with free agency is that there's this concept of who won free agency, and it usually focuses on who got the biggest fish. Mm-hmm. Now, the Montreal Canadiens did not get, in my opinion, any of the big fish, which were Hall, well, Petrangelo,
Krug, or Hall.
Yeah. Hall, exactly, yeah. So they weren't close to that. You know, we looked at last year, the Florida Panthers, they went out and spent a shit ton of money, goaltending, defensemen, secondary scoring, whatever you want to call it. They went out and made a huge splash on all aspects of their team, including coaching. I look at every contract, and I told you this off the air, I don't think Marc Bergevin overpaid any of his hockey players. Maybe he went a little bit too overboard on certain players' terms, but it led to a lower cap hit on many of them. Brendan Gallagher, it was a 6-year at $6.5 million. I can sit here and say, I can live with that. Given what he's been able to do leading up to that contract extension,
as well as
if he went to an open market, I would not have been surprised if he hit something between $7 and $8 million, probably even north of $8 million. I look at Josh Anderson. It was a what, 5.75? It's the same as Jonathan Drouin.
It's 5.5. Yeah, they're both
5.5. Sorry, at 7 years, I can live with that contract because I know Josh Anderson is 26 years old. So Montreal's getting him at the prime of his career.
Than Brendan Gallagher, the Montreal Canadiens did not sign themselves up, did not tie themselves long term to a player that might not, that might worry you age wise. I mean, Brendan Gallagher, only 28 years old, but the way that he plays, yeah. I don't see him playing at that level. Well, I'll say this, I don't see Brendan Gallagher playing in the National Hockey League for another 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Okay. Yeah.
And I don't know if at the way that he plays, I don't know if he's going to be able to sustain that over the entire course of this contract.
But that's, like,
but
I said,
who gives a fuck? How many times
looking
have
at,
I
you got to look at this contract, and he's technically signed with the Canadiens for another 7 years, if you're including the final year of this contract. But, you know, this contract takes him up until 35. I think with the core and where they're going at, you're going to probably assess his contract with probably 3 years remaining. So you have 4 years of Brendan Gallagher still playing, in my opinion, at the level he's achieving right now. But it goes back to tell you, when you look at the entire NHL, the Montreal Canadiens are the most improved team without spending a shit ton of money on one particular player. You know,
the Montreal Canadiens had the best offseason in the National Hockey League.
Absolutely. But what I'm trying to get at is, you know, we could have labeled them as the most improved hockey team if they went out and gave Taylor Hall a huge contract. You know, they could have technically done that with all the money they had. And I think a lot of us would be okay with it. But, you know, I look at Marc Bergevin and said, well, you know what? I'd rather just invest it in additional pieces rather than one major piece. Because with the money that you could assign Taylor Hall, you probably wouldn't have been able to sign Toffoli, Anderson, Edmondson, or Jake Allen. You know, you wouldn't have been able to acquire all those contracts to commit to your roster long term. And, you know, when you look at the Atlantic specifically, I look at the Boston Bruins. They lost Torrey Krug. They're probably going to lose Zdeno Chara. Yeah, they got Craig Smith, who's going to be, in my opinion, a very underrated player for them next year. But there's a huge issue on their left-hand side. There's a question with Tuukka Rask that I don't know what the hell is going to happen with that. I look at Toronto, and I'll be honest with you, I think Toronto improved.
Toronto improved their defense.
They
improved their bottom six depth.
Yeah. As much as I hate Toronto and as much as I hate Kyle Dubas, I
still don't know how much I can rely on that team to put it on.
No. But what I'm trying to say is that when we're talking
about...
They had a good offseason given their circumstances. Yep. They gave up a lot of their scoring depth in Kapanen and Johnsson to probably invest in getting a guy like TJ Brody to probably bring in a guy like Zach Bogosian. You know, it's like, it's a fair trade-off in my opinion. You know, you're improving your defense. You're giving Riley a very good, solid defensive partner in TJ Brody. You're bringing in a Stanley Cup winner. Whoever it may be.
Top four is better now than it was before.
Exactly. You know, I look at that team and say, well, you know what? they made a lot of under the radar moves, but this is a team that's still in a good spot. Like they're not going to shit the bed next year, you know. But and then you look at Tampa Bay. We said it before. This year, if they didn't win the Stanley Cup, it would have been a complete. It would have been shambles because you don't know. You know, like it would have been the last time all these players would have played together, et cetera, et cetera. But not considering they won the cup, it doesn't change the fact that you still have your top three of the best RFAs still on the roster unsigned. You're going to have to move a lot of your secondary scoring, which is Tyler Johnson, Alex Killorn, maybe an Andre Palat. I've mentioned in the past, maybe even a Steven Stamkos, depending on his injury history. And
well, he's been asked to provide a list.
So, you know, we're looking at a team that had a shit ton of talent, a shit ton of production throughout all aspects of the roster that's going to lose maybe 3 to 4 quality players. This is an opportunity where I see Marc Bergevin. He just went out and said, you know what? Fuck everybody. I'm going to improve my team the best I can under normal circumstances and make a run for it. I'm not sitting here and saying the Montreal Canadiens are going to win the Stanley Cup, but what I can say is I have much more confidence with this team making a run at the Cup than prior teams over the past 15 years.
Well, Lambros, I will say this. The Montreal Canadiens look as good now as I can remember, if not better.
Yep.
I do not remember a time in my 25-year-long life of, well, less than, I haven't been watching hockey for 25, but you understand what I mean.
Yeah, yeah, I know what you mean.
The last time the Montreal Canadiens won a Stanley Cup, we were not alive.
Yep.
So, in my entire lifetime, I would be hard-pressed to find a Montreal Canadiens team that on paper looked as good as this team does right now.
Mm-hmm.
They are 3 lines deep at all 3 forward position with quality NHL experienced talent. And off the top of my hand here, Lambros, I can list at least 5 players that have the potential that should score 20 goals minimum. You look at Josh Anderson, should be able to give you at least 20 goals if he's healthy and he plays the way they are expecting him to play.
Yeah.
Tyler Toffoli should at least give you 20 to 25 goals. Brendan Gallagher was on pace for another 30-goal season.
Mm-hmm.
Thomas Tatar should be able to give you in and around 20 goals this season. Jonathan Drouin should be able to give you in and around 20 goals this season. I mentioned to you off air, if I get 30 goals out of a combined Kotkaniemi and Suzuki effort, perfect.
Plus an additional 10 from...
Plus what you're going to get from Dano. Plus what you're going to get from Armia. Plus what you're going to get from Lekkonen. Plus what you're going to get from Byron.
Yep.
If all these players remain on the team.
Yeah.
And
that's not even including what you may get from your defense.
Well, you know, and that's not to mention the goals that you're going to get from Shea Weber, the goals that you're going to get from Jeff Petrie.
Yeah.
Like,
it's an exciting time.
We fucking pumped.
Yeah, yeah. And the one thing I will say, and it's something that I told you off the air, which makes things even better, in terms of the future for the Montreal Canadiens, you know, I think someone off during one of Marc Bergevin's press conferences was asking him about the thought process of him going all in, and he goes, well, we didn't trade any of our top prospects. Mind you, they didn't trade any prospects to acquire the players they got. They did trade picks, but
not the top 3 rounds, not usually what picks that you have to
they give up. They give a third round pick for Jake Allen.
Right, I apologize.
But no, but like the point remains, you know,
we're not sacrificing. We did not sacrifice.
We didn't sacrifice
the 16th overall future selection
for necessary help. You know, I look at the Montreal Canadiens right now. Next year, they have $15 million in cap space. Whatever they want to do with it, they can, because their biggest priorities were Gallagher and Petrie. And I think their next biggest priority, if it were me, is Jesperi Kotkaniemi.
But he's an RFA. He's not going to cost you $5 million.
He's not going to cost you that. And at the end of the day, he's an RFA, so you have his rights and you can delay it as much as you want.
Yeah.
You have $15 million in cap space with two of your biggest free agents signed long-term. You have 14 draft picks next year. You have all your prospects, which according to The Athletic is a top 10 prospect pool. I think it was even ranked second at one point.
Well, it won't be anymore.
Well, I mean, whichever the case, it's still a top 10 prospect pool that did not include the players they acquired this during this year's draft. So you're looking at this team and you're saying Marc Bergevin has them competing for the present, and you have players coming in, whoever it may be. You have Cole Caulfield, you have Caden Gooley, you have one of my favorites, Luke Tuck, potentially making a play. You have a shit ton of prospects that you can look at and say to yourself, these guys are going to have the capability to develop properly, whether it's through college hockey, whether it's through Europe, whether it's through X amount of years in the AHL. They are not going to be rushed to come into the NHL. How many times have we seen it with
we saw it with this team.
We saw it with Galchenyuk. We saw it with...
It goes back even further than that. It goes back to Chris Higgins. It goes back to Guillaume Latondres.
Mike Komisarik. It goes back to
so many of those guys. It's been a trend over the past 20 years of this team rushing young talent into the National Hockey League when they weren't quite ready to handle full-time minutes at the level that they needed them to handle.
Yeah. And I agree with you. You know, when you look at what Marc Bergevin is able to do in just one offseason, he's putting himself in a position where he can go up to people, he can go up to Jeff Molson and say, listen, I did what I have to do. I did everything I needed to do when it comes to improving the team from top to bottom. I hit home runs. That's the way I see it. I think he hit home runs with every acquisition he's made this year. And it's going to put the pressure on Claude to succeed. Now, am I sitting here and saying Claude's going to shit the bed? No. I think with the players he has, he's able to play everybody in the right position. He doesn't have to play Joel Armia at top six. He doesn't have to play Paul Byron top six. He doesn't have to play Arturi Lekin in 19 minutes a night. You know, that
my
team.
My favorite.
Jordan Wheel and Nick Cousins.
Well, Jordan, thank God one of them isn't on the team anymore. But Jordan Wheel should not see anything close to consistent power play time.
He shouldn't be playing on the ice. Josh.
There are 12 forwards on this team. There are 12 forwards on this team that are better than him, if not more.
And I can make a case that Ryan Poehling is better. But I think Jake Evans is starting next year. He's going to be the fourth line center.
Yeah, but look, let me roll through a list of forwards here. Okay. Drouin, let me put it to you. Let me go like in my mind here. Okay. Tatar, Gallagher, Dano, Anderson, Suzuki, Drouin, Toffoli, Kotkaniemi, Armia, I'm at 9, Lekkonen,
Byron, Evans.
You're right. That's 12.
Yeah.
No.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, you have Ryan Poehling in the system. You have, I don't fucking know, like Jesse Ylönen, who's going to probably play in Laval next year.
They were high last year on Lucas Vedamo. Like, you have options. And how many times last year did we see Jordan Wheel roll out on PP1?
And didn't do anything.
Didn't do anything. Every time he shot the puck, he hit the fucking glass.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't fucking soccer here, guy. The goal is slightly smaller. The object is not to hit the big white background there, okay? It's not to aim for the fucking guy's face sitting in row 3.
Yep.
Hit the goddamn goaltender at least. At least get a shot on net. All we ever saw with him was a fucking shot off the corner, into the glass, out the fucking zone. It was pathetic. And he continuously was on PP1. And you remember, Lambros, how much I used to pull my fucking hair out.
Yeah.
We had conversations at the beginning of this very podcast. When the Double Minor Hockey podcast was born in February, the amount of times it would be infuriating that we had Nick Cousins and Jordan Wheel on PP1. Are you telling me you couldn't find better players on your team than those two guys to put on your first power play unit?
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing here?
And I think honestly, Marc Bergevin had enough of it too. I mean,
yeah, and you saw that when he traded away Nick Cousins.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if he moves Jordan Wheel. It's $1.8 million cap hit. You can
he does need to
that.
Get under the cap right now.
Yeah,
there's a lot of rumors that it's going to be Victor Mete, but. Hell,
He has seven. It's a $750,000 contract. No one, like, I mean, yeah, but
I look at it.
Move a depth forward for.
I look at it like this. I don't even give Claude the opportunity to play him.
Wheel.
Yes, because I don't know if I trust Claude Julien not to play him that much.
Yeah, I'm just going to reiterate what you said before. Marc Bergevin has single-handedly saved himself.
Yeah.
He bought himself time. He bought himself a new contract extension.
Yeah, that's what I mean by time. He bought himself more time as the general manager than Montreal needs.
Because I could sit here and say, in terms of where they're at and where they could be, obviously this is all hypothetical because we haven't seen them play a single minute altogether, but we're going with what the moves he's made. Positionally, the Canadiens are a better team this year than any other time Marc Bergevin has been a general manager of the Montreal Canadiens. Yep. That's number one. Yeah, number two.
Back to Pierre Gauthier and Bob Gainey.
Number two, in terms of financial issues, Marc Bergevin has $15 million in cap space next year. And
he has options moving forward.
And he has a lot of options. That's a lot of flexibility for a team that has X, Y, and Z amount of forwards signed long-term.
Like people are assuming that Thomas Tatar is gone next summer. But if Philippe Danault prices himself out of the market here in Montreal, you can easily give that money to Thomas Tatar if he does not ask for a ridiculous amount of money.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised. It's around 5.5.
If he would be willing to take a contract that starts with five, I'd be interested in keeping Thomas Tatar. Maybe not long term, but if Philippe Danault prices himself out of Montreal,
yeah,
I don't know if I'd necessarily have it. And because I look at it as you can, even if you don't want Jake Evans as your third line center or Ryan Poehling, you can find a guy that's going to be good as a third line centerman that's not going to be making $4 or $5 million. You can find a $2 million, a $3 million third line centerman.
Yeah,
easily.
And obviously, because I like to do my due diligence, I checked a year ahead into what free agency has to unfold. And there's guys. The only one that came up off the top of my head was a guy like Scott Laughton. You know, like UFA, quality hockey player, a little bit more gritty than Philippe Danault, but you know, he's not gonna break the bank on what you're gonna ask for, on what you're gonna want, or what he's gonna ask for in terms of salary. So, like you said, there are options to replace a third line center. You're not gonna get that elite third line center, but you know what? I'd rather have a good third line center, and that player makes $4 million less than an elite third line center.
Yeah.
So he has money. He has draft picks.
He's got options.
He has a shit ton of prospects.
Yep.
That I don't think I've ever seen a prospect cupboard this full in Montreal in years.
It's only been done in the past two years. He's done him. People shit on Trevor Timmins, but this scouting staff has done a really good job.
Yeah. They shit on him for other reasons.
Yeah.
Francophone thing.
We won't get into that because it's gonna make my head explode. Where did I want to go to next? Yes. The Double Minor Hockey Podcast, Lambros, is so proudly presented in association with the Belly Up Sports Network, as you know by now. Mm-hmm. Visit bellyupsports.com for all your sports-related content, including articles and various podcasts. The Belly Up Sports Network should be your go-to for much of your sports content. Again, visit bellyupsports.com for more. While you're out there scrolling through the internet, make sure to head to Twitter and find us, find the podcast at Double Minor HP. We'd like to invite you to send us your suggestions for future show topics, questions you might have, comments that you might have, disagreements, predictions for next season, by simply either tweeting at us or sending us a DM. Those are open. Lambros and I would be more than happy to talk about anything hockey related that you might have in mind. That would also make our jobs of preparing for shows that much easier. But I will say this past couple of weeks, show prep haven't been all that difficult. Thank you, Mark, for that. If you've missed an episode of the podcast and you'd like to catch up, or you're not quite sure where you can find the podcast, simply visit bellyupsports.com/double-minor-hockey-podcast to find out all that information. Lambros, where did we want to? Let me check that outline of yours that you. Yes, Jake Allen signed a 2-year contract extension with the Montreal Canadiens.
Yep.
That's another piece of business that people were not necessarily expecting from Marc Bergevin. I look at this merely as this is an option for Seattle. because you were going to have to expose a goaltender. And for some reason, people were thinking that this might be Carey Price being exposed. You can ask him. This was actually a question posed to Marc Bergevin today. This is something that the general manager had to clarify. No, Carey Price is going to be protected. Like, what? Regardless, Jake Allen is going to be made available to Seattle as an option to be selected in the expansion draft. And I think the idea of I think Seattle's goaltending tandem could easily look Braden Holtby and Jake Allen.
That's a very good. That'd be
slightly difficult to pass up. And if you're Montreal, I would rather lose a backup goaltender than a defenseman, a forward, right? Because you can only protect three defensemen.
True. Yeah.
So you can do the
4-4-1.
If you do 4-4, then you're definitely losing a goaltender, a forward.
Right.
Because if you're only protecting four forwards, then you're definitely losing one. So, like, I look at it as hell. If the Seattle Kraken, I'm still going
to time. We're gonna have to get used to that.
Yeah. If the Seattle Kraken do not take Jake Allen, then you still have a quality backup, a really good backup for Carey Price for 2 years. And worst comes to worst, Caden Primo forces you to trade away Jake Allen in the final year of his contract.
Absolutely.
That would be perfect.
It's a win-win for them.
It's a win-win. And if Jake Allen is selected by Seattle in the expansion draft, then maybe Caden Primo comes in to be the backup to Carey Price right away.
Maybe. You don't know.
Or you never know. Something else happens and Marc Bergevin identifies another goaltender with 1 year left on his contract and trades for him.
Of course. I mean, there's
might happen. But regardless, this brings stability to the position that has lacked stability for years.
It gives the Montreal Canadiens an opportunity, like you said, right? It buys Caden Primo 3 years to develop if Jake Allen stays in Montreal, right? It gives Caden Primo 3 years to develop as a starting goalie, gives him 3 full years in Laval. Very similar to what Vancouver did with Thatcher Demko. You know, I think Thatcher Demko is maybe 24, 25, but he spent at least 3 seasons as a starting goalie. That's, I mean, for X, Y, and Z reasons, they had Luongo, they had Ryan Miller at one point, they had, most recently now they had Jacob Markstrom. Vancouver basically did not rush Thatcher Demko to be the starter. He kind of won it during last year's playoffs. And it's probably going to be the same thing with Caden Primo. I think they're going to take their time with him, give him an opportunity to continue developing, continue improving as a goaltender, and maybe even do... Like you said, he might push Jake Allen out of the backup goalie spot and then start making his way towards being that legit starter for the Canadiens around the time where Carey Price starts declining as a goaltender. So it's a very good move. It's a very cheap contract too. I think a team like Seattle has to take that into consideration to get a 1B goalie. If you can have Braden Holtby was signed to a not so expensive contract, but if you can have two goalies valued under, I would like to say under $8 million, it's a very good deal to have. It's a very good opportunity. It's a very great start place to start. You know, I look at Vegas and I see, Marc-Andre Fleury and the success he had in his first year. And then they ultimately re-signed him to a really monstrous contract extension. I think it was a 3-year at $7 million AAV, but to have two quality goaltenders in the National Hockey League contracts.
Yeah.
It's a good place to start if you're Seattle. Now, obviously I would like to have Jake Allen here, but you don't know.
You never know. Lambros, let's do a lightning round. Let's do the lightning quick and I will let you go here at the end of the podcast. Alex Pietrangelo signs a 7-year contract with the Vegas Golden Knights at 8.8 AAV.
Yeah. I mean, I like the player. I don't know why Vegas made this move. To be honest with you,
Vegas is aggressive, but I really do think this is going to come back to bite them in the ass.
This is going to be a big contract that's going to It's going to fuck them over.
I think there have been too many changes in a very short amount of time on a team that was in the Stanley Cup final in their first year.
Yeah,
I think players on that team are starting to kind of have a little bit of issue here, but we'll see. Mm-hmm. Taylor Hall signs a 1-year, $8 million contract with the Buffalo. I almost said Bills. NFL's on my mind here. The Buffalo Sabres. He gets 1 year to play with Jack Eichel, and if he does not agree to a contract extension by then, he will head to free agency with probably better numbers than he did this past season, and probably will be once again the hottest forward commodity.
I think it was just a smart move on Hall's perspective. Yeah,
he wasn't going to get the term and the dollar amount that he was looking for. Take the 1 year deal at that much money. Pad your stats. Look, playing with Jack Eichel, he's going to be playing with the best centerman he'll have ever played for in his life.
Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah. Now it's my turn, Josh. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to have a conversation about this. Ottawa today signed Evgeny Dadonov, formerly of the Florida Panthers, to a 3-year deal at $5 million AAV. Josh, give me
I've complained about the Ottawa Senators. I've complained about Eugene Melnyk. I'm still going to complain about Eugene Melnyk. I've had some problems with Pierre Dorion. I have not had any problems with the general manager of the Ottawa Senators this past offseason. I think he had a really good draft. I think they're building something good here, and I think Evgeny Dadonov is an upgrade over Anthony Duclair. He's going to bring in leadership, experience, goal scoring, and it allows you not to rush your young prospect into top six minutes on a team that's not quite ready to compete.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Yeah.
Two defensemen traded. I told you, lightning round. Let's do this quick. Two defensemen were traded. Devin Taves out of the Islanders for two second round picks to the Colorado Avalanche. And Nate Schmidt traded once Petrangelo was signed to clear cap space to Vancouver for a third round pick. I will say this about the Nate Schmidt trade. Vancouver has themselves a steal.
Yeah, I'll be very honest with you. I'm very shocked that Boston did not give a better offer to Vegas for Nate Schmidt. You know, we're talking about a guy same age as Torrey Krug, a little bit bigger, plays a very similar style. I think Schmidt's a better defenseman than Kruger, maybe like a little bit of offense.
That's a good point by you, Lambros. I had not thought of that.
But Nate Schmidt helps Vancouver right away. They improve the left side of their defense overall. But I'm very, very surprised that Boston did not make a move for that. As for Devin Taves, I mean, in Colorado, as they always say, the rich get richer. That team is stacked defensively. Yeah. It's a team that really, really surprised that still have pretty solid cap space. I think the only big free agent that they have to re-sign next year is Gabriel Landeskog, who's going to be a UFA.
I really love what Joe Sakic is building.
But credit to Joe Sakic, he's built a great team. Only thing I will say that he needs to improve, he needs to get a better goalie. If he's able to go out and get a...
Yep.
And I wanted to just run by something by you because I was thinking about this on the before we went on air. But if you're Joe Sakic, would you make a move for Tuukka Rask? If it costs you a guy like Samuel Girard, you know, I'm trying to think, help like a need for a need, right? Like if you pack, because I think Tuukka Rask would take Colorado over the top, but if you package a Samuel Girard and maybe one of your like either a Grubauer or a Francis to go with it, would you pull that trigger?
I would think long and hard about it.
You know, trying to help both teams out.
Yeah, I think about it, but I think I would. I think I'd rather wait to make that move until Bowen Byram was ready to step in.
Okay, that's fair enough.
I think if I'm gonna trade Sammy Girard for a goaltender, if I'm gonna trade Sammy Girard, I want Byram to be ready to take that spot, because until then, I think the drop off would be too high.
Okay.
Until Byram steps in. And I think that wouldn't help your team.
That's fair. It's just
it's a good thought. It's an interesting thought.
It's a good thought trying to see that, like,
we'll see what Grubauer does, but I do agree with you. I think that they need to, I think they need a goaltender. Like Grubauer, but I think Grubauer is like a really good 1B. I don't know if he can get it done. Now, Anton Khudobin brought the Dallas Stars to the Stanley Cup Finals. You really never know.
Yeah, but
I would feel a little bit more comfortable with a better option in Nets
with a legit starter. And I'm just going with two teams. You know, the Tuukka Rask situation, no one knows how it's going to unfold. Boston's issue on the left hand side. I mean, I'm just trying to do play a matchmaker here, and I think that those are two perfect trade partners that both sides will get something they actually need.
All right, Lambros, have a good night. Get out of here. I, on the other side of a quick break here, I have a friend of mine out of Vancouver that's coming on to talk a little bit about Tyler Toffoli. Oh, for the love of Christ, please tell me you can hear me.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I got you. Oh, my God.
I am so, so, so sorry.
Dude, no, that last time wasn't on you. My internet crapped out.
Oh my God, I thought it was me again.
No.
What's going on with us, man? What's going on with the connection in Quebec and the connection out here and my laptop, dumb laptop?
The world is fixing. The hockey universe does not want us connecting, apparently.
No, not at all. I think that Canucks fans are still upset with the Habs for taking Toffoli.
You guys took Jordy Ben last summer. I think that's a fair trade-off.
Yeah, oh no, definitely for you guys. I'm not sure about us. Yeah. Love Jordy. He's a local guy, but not the best fit under Travis Green's system.
Makes you feel better.
I'm telling you.
He's not the greatest fit under a lot of systems. but anyway, Jordan, how the hell are you?
I'm good, man. How are you? I just want to say to everyone in Quebec, bonjour. It's the only French I know, but I wanted to say hi. But yeah, I'm doing well, man. It's nice to hear your voice again. How are things with you?
Oh man, I've had a crazy, year and a few months since we were together at the draft last summer. Busy, but doing good. Hockey is just not the same right now, but that's the same everywhere.
Isn't it strange? Like I saw on Twitter earlier in the day that today would have been the Habs home opener.
Yep.
And we're in mid-October and there's no hockey.
We're in mid-October and the off-season has just started. Something's not right here.
Oh, it's strange, man. What a weird year that this has been and a strange universe that we're living in right now.
Yeah. So tell me, what's the reaction to Jim Benning's offseason so far in Vancouver?
You know what? I would say that it would be a train wreck if they didn't acquire Nate Schmidt from the Vegas Golden Knights.
See, now, for a person outside of the Vancouver fan base, one of my favorite things to do is to continuously shit on Jim Benning. because historically, I think that he has been a very lackluster general manager. But I will say, every once in a while, he does something that impresses me. Like getting the Ottawa Senators to acquire Alex Burrows for some reason, that was pretty impressive. But I will say this, I totally agree with the sentiment out in Vancouver that, look, if Nate Schmidt wasn't coming into this roster, I think a lot of people would have been very upset with Jim Benning's offseason. But I give him credit where credit is due. Look, when you get a defenseman of the caliber of Nate Schmidt and it only costs you a third round pick, I think you're doing pretty good.
It's an absolute steal. When you think about the minutes that he plays for that team and the character and the person that he is and what he brings to not just on the ice, but in that community, it's a huge win. But also it helps getting Pietrangelo from the St. Louis Blues. But
yeah,
to get a defenseman like him that can just kind of be a major upgrade on Tanev, a player who's in the prime of his career, locked up for another 5 years. It's a perfect fit. It's a win-win. Now, look, people are not happy with them losing Troy Stetcher, who is from the Vancouver area, was a free agent, a college free agent, chose to come home. They had an offer in place for him to come back to Vancouver. But he decided to say no and go to the Red Wings. So people are upset with how that handled, how the Stetcher thing happened, and with Toffoli leaving, because they were offering him, they could have given him the contract that he got from Bergevin and Montreal. Vancouver could have given Toffoli that contract as well, mm-hmm. but he didn't want to keep on waiting. Same with Troy Stetcher. So he told the players and their agents to wait, and they couldn't wait much longer. So when it comes to that, that's disappointing from the Vancouver fan base. Other than that, but yeah, if he got getting Nate Schmidt was a steal, and it calmed the fan base down big time.
Now, Jordan, if I remember correctly, when you and I met last summer, you were telling me that didn't you do some work with Sportsnet Radio?
I did. Yeah, I did. Sportsnet 650, which
tell me about that.
You should Google it for sure. they have the radio broadcast for the Vancouver Canucks. So funny story about that quickly. So I have no experience in television or radio, but people have been telling me since I was in grade 11 or 12 in high school, oh, you should get into broadcasting because you're very knowledgeable on hockey and in sports. but I didn't do it. I just didn't do it coming out of high school. So when Sportsnet 650 launched in, they launched in September 2017. So that summer, I went to the station and I dropped off my resume every Tuesday for 6 weeks because I did True Story. And the receptionist, by like the seven, by the sixth or seventh week, she was getting pretty annoyed with me showing up every Tuesday. So she eventually got me in touch with the program director, who his name's Craig McHugh, and he used to be on Sportsnet TV. He was the covering the Canucks and the BC Lions. He was their program director, and it was around the same time that Louis John was the who's now on TVA.
Yep,
was the reporter for Sportsnet at the time. So Craig and me got in touch, and we followed each other on LinkedIn, and then I actually, funny story. So Andrew Walker, who's the host of the 4-7 show on Sportsnet 650, he used to work at the Fan 590 in Toronto. I was out with a buddy of mine that summer at a nightclub, and I saw Andrew Walker. So me and Walker hit it off. We exchanged phone numbers, and I told him I was trying to get a job at 650. And then a few months later, he got in touch with Craig McEwen again, and I was able to get a 2-month internship there.
Wow.
Small world, eh?
So very, very that, small.
I loved it. It was super cool. And I worked with some amazing people, and some great athletes came through our building when I was there. So it was a really neat experience and something that I'll always hold with
you,
me.
I bet you that receptionist was really happy she didn't have to see your ugly face every Tuesday anymore.
Thank God. She was thrilled. I wouldn't shock me at all. She told Craig McEwen, oh, just give this guy a job.
Just get this kid out of my sight.
Yeah, I don't want to see his ugly mug anymore.
Now, Jordan, you and I sat together for much of the first round last year at the draft. I need you to set the record straight, because every time I tell this story, nobody believes me. And as God is my witness, and I'm really hoping you have the memory that you're going to be able to back me up on this, throughout the first 10 picks of the first round, did I not accurately predict who that pick was going to be moments before the pick was made?
This is true.
Thank you.
This is very true. Montreal, you can relax now. Please. Josh is right. Okay.
Well, see, that's a great motto to live your entire life by, but
I agree.
See, I knew I liked you from the very beginning. But
did we just become best friends?
I think we're on the right track. Yeah. No, it's every time I've told that story, they're like, there's no chance in hell you accurately thought that Dak was going to Chicago or Sider was going to Detroit. I was like, okay.
I remember though, you told me right before the Red Wings picked Sider, you're like, Detroit's going to pick Sider. And I said to you at the time, I think, no way. You picked him. I think you got up out of your seat and you were like, I was right. I was right.
Oh man, that was a great weekend. That was a great, that was a lot of fun.
Good times, man. Oh, that was great.
Oh yeah. So Jordan, I mean, fans of the Montreal Canadiens most of them are a very knowledgeable fan base. Emotions sometimes do run high around here, but we know what we get when a free agent signs in Montreal. You know, we remember seeing Tyler Toffoli playing on a cup winning team in Los Angeles, and we've caught bits and pieces of him. It's just, granted, not a lot of people out here watch a lot of LA games or Vancouver games, but this is why I wanted to have you on. You've watched a lot of Vancouver Canucks games. You've watched a lot of Tyler Toffoli's short time in Vancouver. I think there was a reason why a lot of fans in Vancouver wanted Tyler re-signing in Vancouver. So why don't you tell me what the Montreal Canadiens are getting in Tyler Toffoli?
Well, the Montreal Canadiens are getting a player who can play. You can put him in your top six. You can put him in your top nine. He's a player that has scored. He's had 420 goal seasons. You can put him with your top centers. You can put him with your centers that maybe are a little younger, that are a few years into their NHL careers. He's someone that can play. He's mainly played on the right side. during his NHL career, but also he's okay with playing on the left wing side as well. So you can put him anywhere in your lineup. He's a hell of a teammate. He came into the Vancouver locker room and he just gelled with everyone. Even Elias Pettersson loved him. He said to Jim Benning at the end of the season, keep him, whatever you can do, keep him, because he makes me better, but he makes everyone around him better too. So that's, they're getting an amazing teammate, first of all, a great person, and they're getting a heck of a hockey player that they can put anywhere in their lineup who can score 20 plus goals. And he's only 28. He's in the prime of his career. It's a hell of a contract.
Yeah.
They're getting a great player, and I'm so jealous that Montreal is getting a hell of a player.
See, that's not something that usually is said around here. Usually free agents don't come to Montreal. I've said it from the get-go, right? The addition of a guy like Tyler Toffoli just adds so much versatility to a lineup. He can just do so many things, but he's an easygoing guy from what I understand.
Oh, super easygoing. Well respected. The media, he was really good talking to the media. Did a lot of, I know not in Vancouver, but in Los Angeles, where he lives year round, does a lot of charity work. He really got along with everyone right away. It helped with him knowing someone like Tanner Pearson, who he played with on that 70s line with Pearson Carter in LA, and him and Pearson are quite good friends. So it helps obviously knowing someone going into a new locker room. But he really, once he got into Vancouver, he really got to know all the guys pretty well, and it was a great fit, and no one wanted him to leave, and he didn't want to leave to Vancouver. He was on a Vancouver radio station yesterday, and he said, I wanted to stay with Vancouver for the rest of my career. So that's how much he enjoyed his time here. So it's really disappointing, but at the same time, I know for a fact that Marc Bergevin and the Canadiens, they've been rumored in trading for him the last 2.5 years.
Yeah.
So they've really liked him for a long time. And he's a guy that, with all the other moves that Montreal has done this offseason with Anderson and Allen and Edmondson, and he's going to fit right in with that group. I really believe that in Montreal, after them shocking everyone and beating Pittsburgh and then really taking and really surprising the Flyers, I believe that this team is going to do some damage, and they've really they're showing the league that with the moves that they've made, and man, Toffoli's just going to add to it for sure.
Safe to say that Jim Benning dropped the ball on this one?
Absolutely, 100%.
Now, sorry, go ahead.
No, I really believe that. Now what was going on with that was, guys, was Jim Benning and Pat Brisson, Toffoli's agent, they were going back and forth. They had dialogue for a while, but then Jim Benning was keep on saying to Brisson and Toffoli that, look, we need a clear cap space. We need to get rid of the likes of Louis Erickson, Antoine Roussel, and an old friend of yours, and Jordy Ben. But they couldn't find a trade partner. And while they were trying to find a trade partner so they could unload some salary, they told Brisson and Toffoli to wait. Just wait until we get rid of someone like Sutter, Brandon Sutter. But Brisson and Toffoli couldn't wait much longer, and it was already free agency. You can't do that if you're a general manager. You can't do that, because I guarantee the deal that Toffoli got with the Habs, he could have got that in Vancouver, but he couldn't wait much longer. And they stopped talking. So I think it was terrible management. It was terrible how Benning dealt with that. He let a great player that fit in on and off the ice with this team walk away for nothing. Plus, they gave up a lot for him. They gave up a second round pick. They gave up Tyler Madden, who's a very good young prospect, who Vancouver fans were very happy about, and to Los Angeles for a player. He was excellent, but he only played in total, if you include the regular season and the postseason, he only played 17 games with the team.
Mm-hmm.
So it sucks in a way. It's a punch to the gut, because he was a great fit, but you gave up so much for so little.
Did people in Vancouver seriously think that Brendan Gallagher was coming there next year?
That's funny. That's I will say that is the guy Rick Dhaliwal, who I actually worked with at Sportsnet 650. He is a trusted insider when it comes to Canucks news. He's broken a lot of Vancouver Canucks stories the last 5-6 years. So he was right. But I think I knew that it wasn't going to happen. Of course, I thought about it. But Vancouver Canucks fans, and I know people that are on Twitter in Montreal, you probably have an idea on what Canucks Twitter is like. They're very, like Montreal, very passionate, and they believe that they can get any player they want, especially if they're from British Columbia. So I think a lot of people did believe it. I certainly didn't, because I knew if he was going to make it to unrestricted free agency, that the Canucks wouldn't have the money to give Gallagher, because this team is just stuck in the mud when it comes to not having cap space. But yes, I think a lot of people, I hate to say this, I think they did believe that they were going to get Brendan Gallagher.
Yeah. He's definitely the type of player that every team wants. That's why I think fans of this team of Montreal are just jumping for joy that he signed long-term in Montreal.
And just going about talking about Gallagher for a second, yep. Like I've been watching Brendan Gallagher since he was 16 years old with the Vancouver Giants in the Western Hockey League. I knew from just watching him as a teenager that whoever drafted him in the NHL, that they were going to get a NHL player. Just with the work that he puts in and his style, you knew that he was going to become the player that he is today in Montreal. And it's such a great fit on paper and on the ice and in the community, the work that he does there. I'm happy for him, and it's a great fit, and it will be fantastic that he'll play the majority of his career there.
Yeah. Well, I had something else I wanted to ask you, and now I don't remember. Because I find myself scrolling through the Vancouver Canucks cap friendly page. And now I understand why they have no money.
No, it makes sense now, right?
It makes a lot of sense. I will say this. You guys really shouldn't complain all that much. Quinn Hughes is a hell of a hockey player. Elias Pettersson's a hell of a hockey player. Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. Any truth to the rumors that the Vancouver Canucks are open to the idea of trading Brock Besser? And let me ask you this. Why would the Vancouver Canucks be open to trading Brock Besser? Because for me, and I don't watch nearly as much Vancouver games as you do, but a 23-year-old goal scorer usually is pretty valuable to a hockey team.
Oh, they are. And Brock Besser, since he's entered the NHL, has been a huge part to this team, obviously. And he's been such a great fit with this team on and off the ice in the community. He does a lot of work in the community. I would say that I wouldn't surprise me if they are, in about a year from now, if they're entertaining offers on Brock Besser. The reason why I say that is because he's still young. They need now, we'll see who else that they add, and if it's by trade or free agency, but they do need another top end defenseman. And also, they don't have Besser's a restricted free agent again next summer. So his cap hit is going to be quite high, and they still they're going to have some of their high end players coming off the books. But I think that they're not looking at moving him, but if the right offer comes, I think that they would definitely consider it. But but also he's going to ask for a lot of money too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'll end it on this, and I'll say this. I have been very vocal critic of the Montreal Canadiens general manager over his tenure here in Montreal. I sometimes find myself in the minority of that, but that's a different story all to itself. A lot of people just don't understand what's going on in the world. But is Jim Benning as mocked in the Vancouver fan base as he is around the National Hockey League by fans? I'll say it like this. As an outsider, I am shocked when Jim Benning makes a good decision.
And we're shocked by that too in the Vancouver market as well.
Makes sense.
It happens all the time. You look at the Erickson contract that they gave, that the Louis Erickson contract. You look at the Brandon Brandon Sutter didn't even play a game with the Canucks, and they gave him a multi-year extension, a six-year extension, which was bananas at the time. He gets mocked a lot in Vancouver daily. People make fun of him for the things that he says. Going back to, I don't know if you remember this, but in 2016, the Canucks had interest in PK Subban and Steven Stamkos. During the draft, he said publicly, I have interest in both players. That's tampering.
Yeah, you're not allowed to say that.
No, you can't say that.
Yeah.
So he said that and got fined big time for that. I couldn't believe at the time how you could say something like that. And yeah, he gets mocked every day here. But some people, you have people are, in Vancouver, they're called the Benning Bros. If they're Benning supporters. And then you have people that are not fans of Benning. And the people, but you have to look at, maybe he hasn't been very wise when it comes to the work that he's done in free agency and in trades, but the way that he's drafted has been spectacular. And he was a scout too.
Yep. That's his background, right? That's how he came up in Boston.
Exactly.
Yeah. Jordan, always a pleasure talking hockey with you. I'm so sorry that it's taken us this long to finally get this worked out. Life has a crazy way of taking over sometimes. So happy to get you on the podcast again, brother. You're welcome on anytime to talk hockey. And on that note, I'll say goodnight to you. Thanks again for all the input. Thanks for the fun conversations. Thanks for thank you for telling people that I have not been lying for the past year and a half. About last year's NHL draft. That was one hell of a night I'll probably never forget. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Likewise, my friend. Great catching up with you. And I'm sorry for that malfunction a little bit with the Zoom
technology. Technology has a really shitty way of doing things every once in a while, but that's fine.
Absolutely. And stay safe, my friend. I know the COVID numbers in Quebec aren't great and you guys are in the middle of the lockdown. So my best to you and all of your followers, and stay safe, everyone. And hey, once this is all over, I'd love to come back to Montreal and let's definitely catch up and have a good night out.
Dude, when the draft is back in Montreal, as it was supposed to be this summer, when it comes back to Montreal, you better be here, because we're going to have to relive that night and we're going to have a fun time for sure.
Oh, buddy, I can't wait to get back to St. Catherine Street once this is all over. I love Montreal. It's such a great city.
Yeah, that's one thing it is. It's a fantastic place to be. Thanks a lot, Jordan. Have a good night.
Have a good night, my friend. Thanks.
So on that note, that ends the Double Minor Hockey Podcast for this week. We do hope you enjoyed the episode as always. I will mention, as always, if you are listening to us on Apple Podcasts, we would greatly appreciate it if you could leave us a rating and a review. This will help other Habs fans find the podcast and will help us tune the show to what you guys like to hear. You can also find a link to a feedback form in the episode description below. Lambros and I will be back at our usual time, as always, with an episode dropping next Friday. Stay safe, everyone. Have a great weekend. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy your families. Socially distanced, of course. And we will talk to you guys again next week.